meat is meat. Everything that is not meat is not meat.
All right, so shall we jump in and play some Girl by Moonlight?
All right.
So first of all, for the benefit of our listeners, unfortunately, Zeb is not able to join us for this session. They are having some technical difficulties. As for Solange, the character, do we have thoughts about what could have pulled Solange away?
Could it be that they tried to get that book that they were supposed to get from Frida, and Frida caught them, and they are now in prison?
Ooh, I like this a lot. Yeah, I don't think Solange is in prison, but I think that Solange is currently being chastised by Frida and is unable to join y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of got everyone together and you heard Frida arguing with Solange in one of the rooms in the university. And you were just like, this could go on all day. We need to move now. Before we run off on this mission, then, something that I want to see or want to know more about is, like, what is your intended approach here? Are you, like, approaching on foot? Like, it's probably a day's journey on foot. Are you taking some kind of vehicle? Are you just transcending and flying over there? I think I want to learn a little bit more about your approach.
Slightly comedically here, Fache thinks they're going at it alone right now. Currently with them being dragged along is Lovely, Jax, Felice, and Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wait, so like, you have no reason to drag Lovely along on this whole thing. Like, it would just be bringing another mundane person into danger.
From last session, Lovely insisted on coming.
Okay, so walk me through this process. So you have a bicycle. I don't think it's Violine's bicycle, because Violine's bicycle got exploded at the mines, if y'all recall.
No.
She raged against the machine.
That bicycle raged a little bit too hard against the machine.
I want to stop here for a moment. And there's a contract to the role-playing game, as in we will all be playing the game together. But I honestly don't see any reason for Fache to take anyone with them, especially the mundanes. He would probably try to get away from them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it was Solange who took the fallout of this, and they're not here anymore, so Fache's never made any obligations here.
I think that that's totally reasonable, but I do want to see the scene where you try to shake Lovely and go off into the oil fields by yourself to save Violine.
Yeah.
So we see Fache in the Arboretum. You know, you've got this big dome-like space with this beautiful, intricate iron work and all of these glass panels across the ceiling. You've got the patter of torrential rain coming down onto the glass ceiling. You've got all of these beautiful trees kind of sitting in this now kind of humid, almost greenhouse. And we're looking around the kind of stone disc where the magical girls usually congregate, and no one else is here. You can hear a little ways down a corridor Frida continuing to chew out Solange about trying to steal a book from the library. And you have not seen Legba, although Legba is usually a hard person to pin down. I think Morgan is probably trying to come to Solange's defense, currently unsuccessfully. So yeah, you're just in this position where you just feel the clock ticking and you feel like you're wasting time and you have no one else here to help you. What do you do?
I listen to the voices for a while, and some part of me is kind of disassociating and going away a little bit. And I'm remembering all the times I failed people who were my superior, all the bad ways that ended. And Solange is probably, of all the people who are on the team, Solange is my friend. but also Solange is a fucking beast. And Violine is an idiot with no bicycle now. So I do need to go and get her back. I think Fache, we can see him stand up and he probably like takes something from the table that we don't know what it is. So he takes something from the table and he slips through another exit outside of the university. And maybe that he bypasses Jacques-Philippe and Rudy. He just goes by them and maybe they catch up to him as he is exiting the city.
Specifically, I think what happened was you successfully managed to convince Jacques-Philippe not to pursue this whole thing. But you succeeded with like a consequence. So I seem to remember that Rudy is going to get undisclosed terrible ideas. But yeah, so there's no expectation that they should be going with you right now.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah.
But yeah, you step out of the university into the rain and you're just hit by the torrential downpour. Do you have like an umbrella or a poncho, or are you just letting yourself get soaked?
I have some sort of waxed satchel with me that has some dry stuff.
So certain items you're carrying with you are dry, but you are not.
Yeah, I have a knapsack with me, but I'm currently not wearing protective gear because I'm an edgelord.
And so, Lovely, you're coming up to the university and you see a silhouette heading out towards the forest. Do you grab a bicycle as you go, by the way? Like, do you just grab one from the racks out front of the university?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of poetic irony, but also it's better to at least have a bicycle for the part of the journey that is bicycle traversable.
Yeah, and so Lovely, as you're approaching the university, you see a silhouette towing a bicycle just drenched in rain. Yeah, and so Lovely, you see this. What do you do?
I think for a moment I'm watching the figure with the bicycle and I think it's Violine. Like I think it's her. And then as the rain resolves a little bit and I see Fache, I like go to like run over to them. But I start to, and then I see which direction they're going and I stop. Yeah. And I just watch them leave.
Yeah. I think that Lovely gets close enough that Fache can see them watching them leave. How does Fache react?
I think Fache just meets Lovely's eyes and waves his hands. For him, it's like, yeah, this is just that person who was weird. I just head off.
Yeah, and so you make it a little ways, and then you can hop on the bicycle and start going up the trail. At least fairly close to Renity. It's traversable by bike, although, you know, you are kicking up like mud and that kind of stuff. And this doesn't have one of those guardrails, so you're getting like the kickback on the back of the wheel as it like spins through some of the dirt. But it's densely packed enough on the road that you're not spinning out and that kind of stuff. And so you're able to make pretty good progress as you...
I'm going towards the swamps, and I think until I get there, I'm not really concerned about like safety or anything. But after that, when I get to the swamps, I try to stay hidden and not be easily seen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the swamps are definitely not bicycle country.
The blight has to have ways of getting back and forth from the border, right? So I think that there are trails that cut through the space, and the space where it's too marshy for you to just ride on the ground, they have, you know how marshes have like those elevated wooden kind of catwalk walkways? The marshlands are spongy. There are parts of it that are just swamp-like. Almost all of it has been clear-cut. There are no trees standing. It's just shrubbery. But there is a path that traces its way between these massive mechanical structures that are looming over the marshland. And I think it's kind of like a slightly elevated pathway or like catwalk that stitches like a thread between the different structures.
Okay.
Typical ways of getting around the bayou. You climb your way up the hill and you look to one side, this dense jungle, to the other side, complete barrenness. You can barely see anything out on the horizon. You just see rain coming down. And then you hop the fence and start your way down the path towards light territory.
Yeah. I think we see like a flash of Fache's past here before this place was completely cleared out. Several years ago, Fache went this way after having a fight with Corinne. Tiny 13-year-old Fache going through this brush and under this catwalk, probably hiding under one of the catwalks and then getting caught.
And so as we see you coming up to this fence, we see like the 13-year-old version of you hop the fence and then take off. And then we see that you're, your older self. We've got a sad boy riding a bike in the rain. I love this. We did it, everybody.
I think we've reached peak anime.
We got one more sad boy to deal with, though. I think Rudy comes up to you, lovely, while you're standing there just watching Fache bike away. And he says, so is he going alone?
I guess so.
I feel like I should do something. I feel like I can't just sit here, you know?
I know what you mean. And I like give him like the kind of awkward like side hug where you just lean shoulder to shoulder and then reach around and hold their other shoulder. Well, he'll be back. He'll have Violine with him.
I don't know. Does he think the lower are just going to save him or something?
This kind of exaggerated shrug. It is what they do.
Well, if they're going to save him, then they'll save us, right? And Rudy goes over and grabs one of the bikes off of the rack. I'm going. I'm going to make sure that Violine's okay. But it would really help if you came with me.
Yeah, Levesque looks at him, looks at the bicycles, looks at the rain. All right, then. And yeah, she grabs one as well.
And he puts a hand on your hand. He says, don't bother. Hop on back.
All right.
Yeah. And so you hop on the back of Rudy's bike and he pedals off after Fache.
Oh, yeah.
Wildly unequipped to deal with this situation, but whatever. And so we see Fache pedaling along this catwalk. I mean, they needed to use all that wood for something. So it's definitely a wooden catwalk sort of that stitches its way across the marshland. And we see you flying as fast as your pedaling can take you across this. And we hear like the ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk as you go over each of the individual boards. And then we see this tiny, like we look at one of the shrubs and it like shifts slightly. And then we see this mechanical leg push down the plant. And suddenly we see this spider-like figure. And it has like a big opening, like a big red eye in the middle of its face. It sort of looks like a mix between a spider and a crab. And we just see it note your passing as you pedal into blight territory. You know, because you failed that engagement role. So now they know you're coming.
I am completely on board with it, even though obviously this game is rigged.
Wow.
Rigged.
Listen.
Rigged, I listen. Say.
Listen, you could have rolled better on your fortune roll. You had two dice. I even gave you a die for free. So, cut to Violine. Violine, you are in your room. It's been another day. No sign from your friends. Amadaz has tried to talk to you a couple more times, and you've succeeded at just driving him absolutely insane and giving him nothing. But you're getting the sense that you won't be able to stay here forever. What do we see you doing?
Oh, she's in the cell, right? So I think what she's still doing is just trying to entertain herself and Alejandro at the same time. Yeah, maybe she's like creating a little stage play in her head, and they're both playing out to be the heroes, setting up an entire little musical in the dark little cell to brighten it up a bit.
Nice. It sort of almost has like a dorm room feel or something like that.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes it a cell is the fact that the door is made of iron and is bolted shut from the other side, and the bars at the window is also barred.
I have to say we don't have dorms in my country, so it's not really something I know very well.
Fair enough. Imagine like a two-kid bedroom, like two twin beds, a desk in the middle, and that's sort of the vibe.
And it's not that depressing as I thought it was.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, aside from the industrial chic and the metal bars in the windows and the fact that you're locked inside.
I mean, yeah, okay. She'd still do the same.
Okay, cool.
Just make a fun little musical in their heads. Make it about a grand adventure.
Yeah, totally. So you like push the desk out into the middle of the room so you can hide behind it. And then you're like doing like your best attempt at like puppets for Alejandro, who's just sitting on the bed watching you. So you're in the midst of doing this when you hear like a rumble. You can barely hear it over the sound of the rain, but it's very distinctive. It almost has like an electric whine to it. And you can hear whatever this whine is get closer and closer and then stop at the base of this tower far below. And a few moments, maybe like a few minutes later, you overhear a conversation. You hear Octator Amadaz's voice and you hear someone else. Amadaz is saying, Miss Emmanuel, I'm surprised to have you join us. And well, without Miss Guerrier, you two are usually inseparable. And you hear another voice that you don't recognize say, I won't be here long. And I didn't want to disturb her. I heard you captured someone from Manity. Well, yes. In fact, I did. I've been working on trying to gather information from her to the best of my abilities, but she's been infuriatingly non-compliant, the other voice says. That's a shame. Do you mind if I speak with her? And there's a pause, and then Amadaz says, I suppose I don't see the harm. Maybe she'll find it easier to be forthright with someone of her own kind. The other voice just says, thank you. And you hear the deadbolt in front of your door shift to one side with a mechanical screech. And then the door pries open. And you see a figure standing in the door. She has copper skin, like an earthy tone. She has like a shaved head.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing kind of drapey, flowing clothing. Pretty comfy stuff. She looks like she might be 5 or 6 years older than you. Like in her 20s or so. She kind of looks like a little bit exhausted, like she's hunched over a little bit. And you notice she has like a cannula in her nose, one of those like oxygen support systems that some people have. And this like plastic tube travels from her nose to a tank, which is being carried by a robot who is standing next to her. And you can see as she turns around to unplug the cannula and hand it to her assistant, that she has like augmentations up and down her spine and this like glowing bit of machinery in the back of her neck. She says to her robot attendant, here, just take this for now. It won't be long. And the robot says, Rosina, are you sure? The exertion of the journey, you need this. She just brushes him off. I'll be fine. I'll just be on the other side of the door. I want to talk to her in private, if you insist. And Rosina just moves into the room and like looks at you, sizes you up for a second. What's your reaction to all of this?
I think she was still busy with the sock puppet. So she still has like the sock puppet on her hand. And at the same time, like she pops up from the desk and the sock puppet like moves towards to look at Rosina. And she's just like, hello, who are you?
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. I have to admit, this is how I thought I would find you.
Who are you anyway?
My name is Rosina Emmanuel. And you're Violine?
Yeah, Violine. Why?
The two of us should have a conversation. And as Rosina comes into the room, her robot attendant like closes the door behind her. She goes to sit on the bed and then notices that there's an otter with like a little arm sling there. And says, oh, what happened to your friend?
Well, assuming they're your friends, your friends knocked him out. And then that happened.
I see. Well, they can be a little bit pushy sometimes. Have they been treating you okay?
I mean, they're trying to get information from me, and when I asked the robot man, I forgot his name. I've been here a while. When I asked the robot man, like, if he knew what a friend was, he didn't. So, I don't know. I've been decent. Kind of scary, though. I want to go home.
Yeah, Rosina just kind of winces and says, yeah, you aren't one of them, are you? I can tell, usually.
Aren't you one of them?
What?
Or who's them?
The Loa.
I mean, I don't. Maybe I am. I heard it was something like puberty, like it could set in later in age. I don't know.
You're very funny. I honestly don't know what I was expecting, but it's not this. Here is the truth. I don't think they should be keeping you here. I don't think it's right. You didn't choose to be here, and you don't want to inform on your friends. They shouldn't be interrogating you. You're just a kid.
I mean, yeah, is this some, like, good parent, bad parent thing? Because I've had that. It's not going to work out if you're going to try and be my supportive mom.
You can see that she's a little bit hurt by the comment, but, you know, sort of resigns herself to it and says, I guess I deserve that. You don't have to trust me. I'm going to help you get you out of here, okay?
Sure. I mean, how can you help me? It seems like you're in their pocket.
I have some things I can still do. And she walks across the room over to the windows. And as she does it, it's almost like a spark lighting. You see like a flicker of sigils run up and down her body. And then you see her skin start to darken until it's almost like the color of stone. You see like cracks and fissures starting to spread up her arm, and inside is like this blue glow. There's like the requisite like wind and crackling in the air as she's doing this.
So she holds up her finger and she steps back a few steps or back almost bangs into the wall, and she says, Are you one of the Loa?
You see her shoulders sag, and then she looks at you and says, not anymore, and then turns back to the window. And so the blue light coming out of the cracks in her arm starts to flood out almost like water, and it coats her entire arm until her entire right hand is like blue glowing light. She reaches up and puts her hand on the bars to the window, and one of the bars starts to bend. And so as it bends, you can see so much effort is going into making this like relatively small act for what you've seen from the Loa happen. But she starts to like wrench the metal, and it's just quiet enough and just slow enough that you don't think the people outside can hear. She manages to get like one of the bars free, and then in a sudden moment, all of the energy almost like sheds off of her, like a static discharge, and she falls to her knees and she is gasping. What do you do?
Yeah, Violine runs up to her, like amazed at what just happened, and just tries to catch her because she fell down, right?
Yeah, she's like falling to her knees.
Yeah, Violine tries to stabilize her at least a bit so she doesn't fall fully on the ground. And kneels beside her and says, are you okay? What just happened?
I'm not as good at this as I used to be. Sorry.
I mean, what were you even trying to do?
I was trying to get you out of here.
Why would you do that? Who are you even? I mean, aren't you with them?
I am, but that doesn't mean I can't try to help you.
Just rest, okay? I can get myself out of here. I got friends coming, probably. It's been a few days, but I'm sure. Even grumpy old Fache will come over. Just, you're too weak for this.
Can you send my assistant in? I need my oxygen.
Yeah, and she lets go of the woman and starts banging on the door. Like, pretty loudly, and not aggressively, but, like, desperately.
Yeah, and very quickly the door swings open, and this sort of like a Primrose inspired model of robot, like comes in and quickly rushes to Rosina's side and helps fit the cannula back in. And Rosina's waving her hand, like, close the door behind you quickly before Amadeus comes back.
Yeah, and she closes it instead of the little robot.
And so Rosina kind of like props her back up against the wall and sort of takes a few minutes to like recover her breath and says, I don't know when or if your friends are coming. And I don't think you should wait for them to show up. And then you hear a voice outside, and it's Amadeus. And Amadeus says, Miss Emmanuel, I've just been informed that Fache has crossed the border into Ark territory. He's approaching with haste. And if what I've gathered from Vialine here is correct, he should be prepared for more than a formidable fight. It would probably be safest if we got you away from the premises immediately. You can hear I'm like twisting the doorknob, or sorry, like moving the bar so that he can get into the room. And then Rosina's like, no, wait, sorry, I'll be right out. And Amadeus is like, are you sure I can come in and support you? It sounds like you're into. No, I'm fine. And Rosina looks at you and says, don't let Amadeus know what I did to these bars, okay? I'm sorry I wasn't able to make a bigger opening, but you might be able to pry them free.
Okay, I won't.
If you do manage to get outside, you'll have to climb along the outside of the rig until you get to the ladder that leads back down to the ground. But you can handle that, right?
I think so. Yeah, I'll try. I'm pretty fit.
All right. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. You too. Don't exhaust yourself any further, lady.
It's Rosina.
Rosina, okay, I'll remember that.
And yeah, with the help of her assistant, she leaves the room and quickly barrage of questions from Amadeus. And you can hear their voices sort of receding, and you're alone in this room. All right, so I think it's time for me to reveal these clocks, yeah? Let's do this. And I'm going to tick up the Vialine escapes clock, because you have help from a mysterious stranger.
Ooh.
So this is going to be a race. There are two clocks here. Clock one is Vialine escapes. Clock two is overwhelming reinforcements. So you want to fill up Vialine escapes before I fill up overwhelming reinforcements. Secondary objectives are if you can manage to deal with Octator Amadeus or the on-site security, that will make you in a less desperate position. But ultimately, those are not, you know, your goal.
Yeah.
So I want to cut back to Fache. So Fache, you are seeing as you're riding increasingly like there are robots at some of these rigs who are just like turning their heads to watch you pass, not to stop you, but just they are fully aware that you are here now. And you realize that the clock is probably ticking. Word has gotten out that you're present. None of the people who've spotted you so far are trying to intervene to stop you, but you get the sense that when you get wherever you're going, you are going to encounter trouble.
I think Fache gets this feeling over a number of hours. Like he notices one eye tracking him, and then after a little bit, there's another robot who is also very clearly tracking him. And he is realizing that he is nearing that place that he remembers where he got captured and re-educated before he joined the darkness. And he realizes that obviously the jig is up, and maybe someone like Morgan would have a better plan, or someone like Solange would be like better at executing. Or maybe Legba would be very sneaky and sneak up to the prison. But all of these people are not here right now, and we only have Fache. So at some point, he just drops his bike and just transcends right there, standing on this catwalk. the streams of light like reaching into the ground. And even outside of the city, they reach for the city, for the heart of the city, to transport this magical energy into Fashe and to transform him into his Loa form. Her name is Urzuli. She protects children who are in harm's way and also has a mastery of the elements. So she just flies up and is flying around this prison, calling out, "Violin? Violin!"
Yeah, and so you're going across the wind, and then, you know, you're moving between these rigs, and, like, you don't know which one of these has Violin in it. But maybe you head to the one that you're most familiar with, which just happens to be the right one, as we established last session.
Yes.
And so you're heading there, and when you get close, you see at the base of this tower, no, even better yet, on top of this tower, you see Octator Amadaz standing in the rain, cape billowing in the wind, flanked by two robots. He's standing there prepared to meet you as you approach. And he yells over the downpour and he says, only one of you this time. Where are your friends?
Urzuli turns to Octator, and for a moment, her face changes just a little bit, and like more of Fashe is coming through, and she just goes, "Get bent," and is calling for Violin, and I would like my first action to be perceived to see that one of the window's guards are crooked or something.
Let's cut it at you saying to Octator Amadaz, "Get bent," because I also want to get Lovely involved in the scene.
Okay,
if possible.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So you're just like, "Get bent." And then we get a brief shot of Violine trying to wrench the bars in her cell the rest of the way open. How are you approaching that, Violine?
So what she would do, because she already knows a little bit from, like, her bike, sometimes, I don't know what they're called, but the little iron bars in the wheel.
The spokes?
Yeah, sometimes they get stuck, so she loses, and they get bent, and she puts them back, she bends them back with tying a cloth around it, and just trying to turn the cloth more and more so it bends backwards. And I think she's doing the same for the iron bars, just trying if that works. So she, like, rips off part of her shirt or of whatever she was wearing and put that around two bars and just...
You've got two beds with bed sheets.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you want to do, like, a dramatic costume change where you're in, like, the torn up version of your outfit.
No.
I don't think that this is the rating we're going for.
No.
Hey, Avatar is apparently TV-17 now.
Oh my goodness, I'm not talking about it in like a sexy way. I'm talking about it in like the haggard hero with like their costume in tatters facing the darkness.
With like an arm off, or like with a sleeve off, not an arm off. I know what you mean. Now we'll use like a pillowcase, and she just wraps the pillowcase around two iron bars on the outside so she can like push them more together so the middle is more open, which would exaggerate what Rosina did already.
Nice. Yeah, and so you're twisting this. This is really hard work, and you are not a superhero, even with a tool. So actually, I think go ahead and do a roll real quick to see what you can do here. I think this is a fairly controlled situation because Rosina put you in a situation where Amadaz is distracted, but you have limited effect. So how are you approaching this? This sounds like a defy, maybe, or an analyze.
I think a defy more. I think she doesn't really perceive here and studies it. She just does it against the pressure.
Sounds good. Yeah, go ahead and roll real quick.
Oh no.
Oh geez.
This is not our session.
All right. So I'm going to give you a tick, but I'm also going to give you a consequence. This is a controlled situation, so I think that this doesn't doom your escape attempt. But what it is you hear like robots like shuffling through the hallway, and you realize that if you keep doing this, someone's going to hear you. at least until all these people pass. And so for the moment, you're just kind of stuck. So lovely. You're on the back of this bike with Rudy. And I think maybe you see like the light of Erzuli's transcendence far in the distance through the rain. Like at first you think it's lightning and then you realize that it was something else. And you realize that you're running out of time. What do you do?
I look up and I'm squinting and then maybe we get actual lightning and I see like the silhouette of Erzuli up there hovering in front of then Amazaz's silhouette as well. Goodness, my language. And yeah, then we're still pedaling forward. And I look down at the back of Rudy's head, kind of through the rain. I just quietly say, "I'm sorry, Rudy." And then Lovely's eyes close and she just passes out and falls sideways.
Jeez, this is so dramatic and I love it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, he probably like stops and turns to help her. Behind him, we see like this flickering black flame start to appear on the ground and it slowly worms its way up out and we see a silhouette-like figure. Then the face turns. We get another flash of lightning because of course we do. And we just see the bone mask for a moment. And the hurdy-gurdy music starts playing. And then we jump back over to Erzuli.
Nice. Does Rudy see this happening, like, over the body of Lovely?
I think maybe he, like, it's like, there's, like, the scene of him, like, over Lovely's body with this form rising up behind him. And the lightning crashes, and he whips around to look. But when the lightning fades, this figure is gone at the same time.
I love it.
Only dramatic entrances and exits. That's the only thing we can do.
Yes. Well done. So, yeah. And so Rudy's like over Lovely and it's just like, Lovely, are you okay? Hey, what happened? And so he's very distracted. And our sneaky showy Loa springs into action. All right. Now, Erzuli, Amadaz is watching you carefully, but you have an opening here. What do you do?
I've been waiting to do this for like several sessions. At this point, Violine is my rival, and I have a very great transcendent ability that's called Brutish. When you push yourself, choose one of the following additional benefits. Perform a superhuman feat of physical force, or destroy an obstacle between you and your rival.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I see Violine through one of the windows, and it's like almost like she gleams a little bit with plot significance. And I see her, and I fly up to the window, and I just tear out the whole window, basically.
The entire side of the building. There's like 8 exposed rooms now.
Heck yeah.
Violine's just happens to be the center one. This is a superhuman level.
Yeah, I am going to defy in desperate position for, I'm assuming, great effect? I don't know.
Yeah, well, so it says you can spend a transcendent action to perform a feat of superhuman strength or to destroy an obstacle.
An obstacle between you and your rival. Brutish, it's in my thing.
It seems to imply that you are not rolling, you're just doing it. You just spend a transcendent action to do it.
I mean, when you push yourself, you usually push yourself to do an action, right?
Oh, sorry, it's push yourself, not spend an action and just do it. Got it. Okay, yeah, so you are pushing yourself and you are doing a desperate defy action for great effect. Are you kidding me?
It's goodness. A 3, so the great effect does occur.
I mean, no, a 3 is still a failure.
No, it doesn't. It's a 4 or better.
Damn it. Yeah. Yeah. So I think what happens. What is it? What does this look like? Are you just punching it? Or like, is this like elemental stuff? Or what's going on here?
I grab the bars and I yank by the bars. And I either yank the whole, like, either yank the bars away or I yank the whole window frame with the bars.
Yeah, and so I think you succeed. So you tear the bars out along with the wall that the bars are attached to. And the entire thing comes tearing off of the side of the building and falling like 100 meters down to the earth below. Violine, you're now standing on the edge of like the hardwood floors of this room that you are in, and you are like waving your arms to keep yourself from falling over the edge. And two things happen. First, or you have that moment of realizing, Erzalee, that Violine is about to fall, and you move to help, and then you get tackled out of the air by Amadaz. And so Amadaz shouts at you and says, you think you can ignore me? We are still owed a fight. Let's settle this once and for all. And then, Violine, you slip and you start to fall off the side of the building. Who would like to resist this consequence?
Yes, I would like to resist this, if I can.
Yeah, so you can resist it, or someone can resist on your behalf. Since you are immortal, but I think that this is not beyond your ability, so I would say you have standard effect here to stop yourself from falling off the edge.
Yeah. And I think what she was just going to do is just a standard, going to grasp at something. Maybe there's something that's still... maybe there's like the classic steel beam poking out of the building now that she can clamber onto.
Yeah, a piece of rebar that you can hold on to and keep yourself from falling.
Yeah, something like that.
Perfect. Yeah, so resist with the one for resisting physical effects. Is that...
Sun,
yeah. Roll your sun resist.
Ooh, we actually have a good roll this time around.
Nice. All right, so you only take one stress. How is it that you stop yourself from completely falling to your death?
Yeah, so what she does, she does fall for a little bit, but in the classic anime falling too long scene, she just notices something coming up, and she puts out her arms very wide, almost bird-like, and just hugs like a piece of concrete that comes past her, and it hurts her. That's why we still got the stress. Like she falls on it physically, but at least she's like dangling on the building now.
Yeah, and you glance up at what used to be your room, and you see Alejandro peering over the edge, looking at you with a terrified expression. I think because you ignored Amadaz and you were in a desperate position, I think you're going to take one harm from this, Erzalee. Do you try to resist this?
What harm?
Oh, harm from being tackled by Amadaz?
No, you usually say you take level so-and-so harm so-and-so, and then I say whether I would like you to resist.
Oh, I see. Level one harm, smash into the ground?
Yeah, it's fine. I already have level one harm, so that one, that much.
Okay, sounds good.
You're just going to take it?
Yeah.
All right, and so yeah, you've got like the whine of the jet engines on the back of Octator Amadaz, and like the flap of his cape behind him, and he just crashes you into the ground, and then like takes, like swoops up around you and draws his rapier, and he says, "Now fight me."
Erzalee looks up and sees that Violine is for now. She sees that for now, Violine is not plummeting to her doom. And she turns to Amadaz. And I do engage him in combat. But I think that's what we mentioned, I think, last session, that I can fight him, but I'm doing another thing, like with my action. And that's the important thing. I think Erzalee says, "I don't owe you anything. You talk like you are a hero in a myth, but you are just a speck. Give me a moment. I will come up with a sufficiently flowery thing."
All right. While you are contemplating this, I just to note, I've marked up the Violine escapes clock by another pip because you did tear a wall up the side of a building. So yeah, that helps.
Yeah, I think she says, "You talk like you're a hero of a myth, but you are just dust in the eye of true gods. You're nothing in front of the power that stands before you." And I'm trying to give him essentially doubts and make him question this idea that he is the best. Would that be like a thing that I could do?
Totally, yeah. This sounds like it is intended to tick up the Octator Amidaz clock. Like you were specifically trying to wound his self-esteem / will to fight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. So what action is this?
Express. Or it could be also defy, but
yeah,
it feels like either one of those.
I think express makes sense in this situation.
Okay. Is it still desperate?
Yes.
Okay.
You have standard effect.
Okay. And I fail.
Jeez.
I was going to assist. I should have spoken faster.
Yeah. God. Also, you better be marking all this XP for...
I am getting the XP. I should have stopped to say whether anyone asks.
It's my fault. I have all these support abilities, but I wait for people to ask for them instead of just using them.
And so you're saying all of this, and you're saying like you are in the speck, you are speck in the eye of true divinity. And he says, I have no pretensions of being a god. But mundane or no, I'm still more than a match for you. And he puts his sword in front of him. The jet engines spool up. There's a massive blast of fire as like the sword just propels itself through the air in your direction. And yeah, it's just going to bury itself in you before you can even react to what's happening.
I have a feeling that I would like to resist that, but what harm would that be?
Yeah, let's say that this is level 2 harm, jet sorted.
Okay, I would like to resist and probably also take it completely down with, which I think everyone has one special armor for transcendent, for just being transcended.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. So I would be resisting with sun. Okay, that's 0
strength. Nice.
And I think he thinks that his sword buries itself in Urzali's chest. And probably for a moment, it looks like that. But Urzali's body is just flowing water. And it just moves out of the way. It left a path in itself for the sword, but it wasn't hurt. And they... like spin around and continue engaging Ectator.
I would also like to point out, because of our tireless feature, your first defy roll you made was also a recovery roll.
Yeah, I ticked my healing.
Lovely.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, so we've got Velian hanging out the side of a building. We've got Alejandro looking down desperately. We've got two robots on the roof, and we've got Legba moving through the shadows of dreams or something. Like, but what are you doing?
All of the above.
Perfect.
I think there's a moment where Velian, you're like hanging off of this rebar still, or have you pulled yourself up yet?
She's like one leg over it, but she can't climb up more. Like, it's not very stable.
I think we hear a voice calling up to you, and it's just, you know... I always liked the stories where the princess rescues herself, you know? And yeah, looking down, there's just this like big pool of shadow with the bony eyes looking up. And then you see like two hands just like raise up. Come on now. I'll catch you. I'm just using my big reveal. And I'm going to give Velian increased effect if she wants to take a follow-up action to just jump off the building.
Yeah, I think that would work. She would recognize what this was.
I like it. You are rolling to fall, is 100 meters? How tall is 100 meters?
Put it this way. You're about, let's say, 25 stories off the ground.
Yeah, and so this is fall 25 stories and land on the ground safely via the assistance of magical shadow energy. I love this. It sounds like, Violine, this is entirely contingent on your role, though. You're just being assisted by Legba. So, do you do it?
Yeah, she does it.
Oh, jeez. I hope this goes well.
I mean, they're being assisted and they're getting increased effect. What's the other thing for setting up for follow-up? I had it right here.
I think that there's two things here. I want to make sure we clarify the position and effect as well. So I believe that the effect here is great in that, like, no human should be able to do this. The position is still desperate, though, because if you screw this up or something about this goes wrong, you will be very hurt. I just want to make sure we're clear on the stakes here.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But this is dash first, right? For the extra die, or do I just...
No, I spent stress to make it happen. Okay.
Yeah, so what she does, she just lets herself fall, which is sort of trust.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sort of, like, almost confession-based. At least that's what it feels like. Like, it doesn't feel like a physical thing. Like, letting go is not really anything that makes you have to do something physical. So defying danger wouldn't make that much sense to me.
Yeah, I like that. It is bearing or putting all of your faith in somebody. I could also see forgive being appropriate. Like, it's every doubt that you've ever had about Legba, you're just stowing it for now and you are going to jump because you trust them.
Mechanically, for me, it makes no difference. So I'll take a confess because that's my first feeling.
Okay.
And I got one bonus. I got one bonus die.
From the social link. Did you also push yourself for an extra die or no?
Or devil's bargain. Get more dice. We need more dice.
Yeah, I wanna not mince words about how bad this is gonna be if you mess up. So
well, let's see.
This would be like level 3 or level 4 harm if this goes wrong. It would have to be.
Yeah. I'll push myself. I think that's the best. Yeah. I think I can do that.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let me get back to the right screen.
Oh, good. Ooh, yeah.
You got that 4.
Every dice was needed.
Yeah. And so bad stuff happens, but not the worst stuff happens. So that's good. Just for a second, like, you have this moment of faith, of like this leap of faith. What does this look like when you're being assisted by crazy shadow magic to land on the ground? Is it like Violine disappears into a pool of shadow and then gets spit out the other end, just like a couple feet above the ground, or what?
Let's do this together, right? So I'll just do what Violine does. And Violine just like lets herself drop swan dive, arms wide, like Jesus on the cross almost, just fall down to the ground.
Like a drop of water falling off of the ceiling, but in reverse is what, like, the dark shadow, like, it falls upward for a moment, and it does that very liquid thing where it, like, turns into a droplet rising up towards her, and then as she dives down, she hits it, and it just flattens out, and it goes straight down towards the ground, and then it starts to bounce up and reform. And it's, yeah, just Legba with his arms and just cloak wrapped around Violine.
Nice.
I'm a bouncy castle.
You're a bouncy castle.
I'm a bouncy castle.
Made of shadow magic.
The best kind of bouncy castle.
Yeah, definitely. And so you like hit the ground. We see like all the shrubbery in the area just rattle with like the wave of energy and pressure. And as you lay there on the ground, you can hear the sounds of Urzali and Amidaz fighting overhead. But you also hear another sound. You hear more of those electric whines coming from the distance. And I'm going to say that the consequence for this rolling imperfect success on a desperate action is overwhelming reinforcements are on their way.
All right. How many of them?
Let's see. It's going to be...
Is it an overwhelming amount?
Well, it will be overwhelming when they arrive. if you are not gone by the time they show up, you're screwed.
We're all going to get captured.
Yeah. So either 2 or 3 pips. This was a desperate action, and you did. So it is a desperate consequence. So I'm going to give you 3 pips on it.
Yeesh.
So you are currently halfway filled up on the overwhelming reinforcements clock. Hurry up.
For a great effect on Violine escapes, though, how many ticks on that clock do we get?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck yeah. You also get, it's either 3 or 4. I think it's 3. I'm going to give you 3 pips. Because Alejandro is still way upstairs.
Oh, shit.
I wanted to go, Violine, don't forget Alejandro. But I thought, well, maybe. Maybe Violine wouldn't.
She hasn't.
So, Urzali and Amidaz continue your daring fight. And so you avoided being skewered. And he turns you know, as soon as he sees you reform and like chases you through the sky, what do?
I want to kind of, as I fight him, I want to push him a little bit, like lead him further upward towards the roof. And I'm keeping him busy by talking and saying, well, tell me then, tell me about your beautiful purpose. Tell me what you are destroying this place for. I don't know. This might be Defy because I'm pushing him away from where Violine is. Or this might still be Express because I'm trying to get him to monologue.
Yeah, yeah. I think this might be Conceal. You were trying to trick him into talking instead of doing anything, right?
Well,
instead of paying attention to the prisoner he's supposed to be protecting.
But with Conceal, I don't really have a dice. So I would rather not roll Conceal if I can roll this with Express or Defy.
Got it. Yeah, I would say that using Express to do Conceal, I think, is going to be less effective. Doing this with Express means he's fully cognizant that Violine is on the ground and maybe getting away, and you're relying entirely on just saying things that are so infuriating that he can't turn his attention away from you.
I'm going to assist here and just say I have the ability to do it for free. So I'm just going to be assisting by like physically blocking his view of Violine. So he's thinking about her less and focusing on Urzali.
Okay. I will do Conceal then with one die because is it still desperate?
Let's see. Has anything changed to make the situation not desperate?
I mean,
no,
not really.
Do you have a devil's bargain?
Do I have a devil's bargain for you? Ooh. Ooh.
One that I have is possibly I'm opening myself up to the attack by robots also because I'm going upwards and it's now easier.
I have a better devil's bargain for you.
Okay.
It's at exactly this moment that Rudy makes the scene.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
All right. Take a die.
No.
Okay, so that's a partial success.
Nice. All right. Yeah, and so you're saying your line was something about tell me
about your glorious purpose. Why are you destroying this place?
Yeah. And he says to you, are you telling me you don't see it? It's all around you. Look at the things that we are able to create. You dwell in those ruins. Nothing changes year after year. You content yourselves to an ever-diminishing life on an ever-diminishing island. Whatever happened to your ambition? Yeah, and so you are definitely baiting him into like showing all of this off. And I think that there's definitely these moments of like, you know, you stop mid-fight. He like parries a blow coming from you to one side. And then he like grabs you from behind and just like holds you in position for a couple of moments. And he kind of like sweeps his hand out in front of you and shows you like all of these mining rigs and tries to make you really look at them. And he says, tell me you don't see it too. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think she looks around and she like her eyes are glowing and she says, ruins? This whole place is a ruin. You made a ruin of this body, too. Everything you and yours touch turns into dust, turns into pain. And I just realized that I ticked my third transcendent action with the conceal, right?
Damn.
So ooh. I think this is kind of Urzali gets swept away by this wave of bitterness and pain from Fache's previous life. And she's like screaming at Actator, my only ambition is to forget I've ever set eyes upon you. And she is like lunging up at him, but with waning strength. And she misses and goes plummeting to the ground.
I think what it is, you know how he, I think he grabs you, like just holds you in midair. He had you in that headlock for a moment. And so he's like holding you up with one arm and he's like pinning one of your arms to the side. And the both of you are just floating in the air at this point.
That was the worst five ever.
Yeah, that was the worst five ever. But also my level one harm is gone because my last action was also recovery action. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And so he says, Fache. So Violine was right. This is you. You've become one of the Loa.
I think Fache just staring at him. And Actator is like a new thing. Fache wasn't working with him, right?
No, yeah. He's fresh off the presses.
Okay. yeah, I think Fache says Violine should have kept her mouth shut. And he is like trying to essentially paw away at him, but he can't really get him to release him because one, he will plummet to her to his death, and two, this is a higher sort of being, and in his human form, he can't really do much with it.
Yeah, and Amidaz says, "She did. She wised up quickly, but she managed to let you slip, and then." You hear like a crackling sound in the distance and then a massive crack. And you think it might be like lightning, but it strikes just behind you. And before you realize what's happening, you're falling. And Amidaz is falling. And there's still like this blue beam that is slowly dissipating that has gone from somewhere on the ground and has pierced the heavens and pierced Amidaz as it did so.
That is real cool. Before, while all of this is happening, I did get a success on that conceal. And I feel like that would cover Violine Escape's clock because I was distracting him. Like, I wasn't hurting Actator Amidaz. I was distracting him from Violine so that she could escape.
And it was big in a flashy fight, and it drew off a bunch of the reinforcements as well.
Yeah, I'll definitely give you the Violine escapes clock is ticked up. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, so Violine should have escaped by now.
Yeah, there's nothing that impedes you. But yeah, you got the fallout was you got captured, and then you got uncaptured by something.
Oh, there's something that Violine that's like keeping her back.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, Rudy.
There's still an Alejandra and there's still a Rudy. And so you see, cut back to the ground. Rudy is running across this boardwalk and two robots are, well, I won't say that they're closing in on him, but he's running up and he's saying, Violine, you're okay. Did I just see you jump?
Yeah, I jumped. What are you doing here? This is way too dangerous for you, Rudy.
I came to save you.
Yeah, well, I love you, but you don't need to come save me.
Well, all of your friends came to save you, and I didn't feel right hanging back.
Wait, does this mean you just left Lovely, like, lying in some ditch somewhere? Jeez.
Hey, what a dick. Listen, look, I'm sure he puts you somewhere safe, but he needed to go check on his sister, okay?
I see how it is.
Oh, my God. He just embraces you, and it's like a crushing hug.
Yeah, big bro.
And you realize that he's like crying into your shoulder a little bit.
And she softly says, like, Rudy, okay, I'm sorry. I'll try to get out of danger, okay? Okay, we need to do something. Alejandro's still up there.
I wanted to make sure you were safe. Sorry.
I know. I'm sorry, too.
Okay. So... is that Ursuline?
I mean, yeah.
Right. And
is that Ursuline plummeting to her death?
Yeah. Wait,
what was that sudden beam of blue light?
Yeah. But I think all of these questions pause for a second because he realizes that he's standing right next to Legba.
Yeah, there's like, just like this shadow welling up all around them, slowly surrounding them.
and your Legba.
Hello, boy.
We really are friends with the Loa. Oh my god. Oh my god, this is real. You mean you weren't gonna tell me?
Hey, I wasn't gonna tell you, just not now, okay? Plus I'm not like them, so I know it's weird. We can't talk about it right now. We need to go, okay? You need to go back and get out of here while I'll take out while we grab Ursuli and Alejandro and get just out.
Right. Okay. But you're coming with me.
No, you're going away, and I'm going to save Alejandro and Ursuli, and I don't know what Legba does. Legba does things, and I don't understand him.
That is my description.
I'm not going to let them take you away again.
They won't. Just go, Rudy.
This is going to turn into a whole argument, and it is only going to waste you time on the overwhelming reinforcements clock. I wanna hand things over to Legba here for a second. So you're watching these two siblings bicker, and then you realize that Fashe is falling from the sky. And I think what it is your argument is completely interrupted by this arc of blue light crashing through the sky and slamming into Amidaz, and then now Fashe is falling from the sky. What do you do?
Oh, everything is falling apart. Writhing like shreds of black cape and shadow, like grab onto the two arguing siblings and drag them along behind me as I try to like race towards where Fashe is falling. And I'm just going to try to perform my second heroic catch of the day.
I love this. Do you just keep growing more arms as you find more people to grab? You like,
oh gosh, yeah, I know. It's turning into shadow octopus at this point.
Yeah, you grab Violine, then you grab Rudy, then you go to grab Fashe, and then you got an otter to save too. Let's do this. This sounds like a flow to me.
All right. I like flow. It's something I'm decent enough at. This is also a great time for you to tell me what my position is from the starting point is, as if it was anything except desperate. I know. Silly me.
Amidaz just got shot out of the sky, so I'm going to say that this is a risky position.
Risky position. What if I wanted to grab him as well?
Oh.
I've got tentacles to spare.
Okay.
Let's see if I get some increased effect and I could grab him also if it was desperate.
If you do this with great effect, I will let you grab both Fashe and Octator Amidaz. Yes. So if you can find a way to get this to great effect, I will give it to you.
I think what Dash was trying to say is he would like it to be desperate great.
Oh, yeah, perfect. That's your great.
All right, now, someone give me dice, please. I need an assist.
I can assist you by, like, being a better thing to catch. I don't know. Like, better at being caught. I'm not unconscious.
Does anyone have social links with me? I don't think so.
Yeah, I have two with you.
You can do something then.
My point is, though, you're trying to help me, which is why this action is happening.
I'm just dragging you along. I'm not doing anything with you, but you're there, which means there's things you can do.
I think what she could do is help you calming Rudy down and calming Alejandro down, so you don't have to worry so much about them being dragged along. Right, because it's for them, it's both a little bit strange, and she's not used to it either, but she at least trusts you now since you caught her. So maybe she can make that a whole lot calmer so you don't have to focus on that.
Are you essentially spending a point of stress to give them an extra die? Is that what's going on here?
They have a social link with me.
Yeah, I have a social link.
Oh, a social link. And you can spend a social link for extra. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so this is about connection. This is, you're not struggling, you are... you know, and calming Rudy down, who is freaking the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I like it.
Yeah. So then I help you. So I think you get a dice from that.
All right. I take the dice. I push myself. Let's do this. Yes. I needed every dice.
Whew. Glad you got that last four. All right. So desperate great. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, goodness gracious me. I think what we're going to do is we're going to increase your time is running out clock. You got one pip left. but you manage to grab both Amadaz and Fashay. So now you're just a mass of shadowy arms.
And I've got one transcendent action left.
Yep, and one otter who is currently missing, and then you can make your escape, or you can leave Alejandro behind.
All right.
No, this included Alejandro, right?
No, because Alejandro is somewhere completely different. Like, it's easy to grab Fashe and Amadaz, but not to grab Alejandro, I think.
I thought we said it was included, but sure.
Can someone please spend a flashback to get Alejandro here?
Well, if I can narratively first remove some stress so I don't get any harm, yeah, sure, because I have another social link with Legba. Yeah, because I have another social link with Legba, so maybe this embrace of blackness feels very comforting to me. And of the black tendrils, maybe it feels very comforting, and I remove some stress. And then I get a flashback, and then I want to do a flashback getting Alejandro.
Sure. What did you do, or what do you want to establish already happened?
Yeah, so what I want to do is the moment she fell down, Alejandro looked down in horror, right? That's where we left off. And she held out her arm, her hand, and she talked him into jumping into her hand. And she caught him. She caught him to put close to her. So she's so Alejandro is hiding out inside her jacket now. So something like that. That was the rough narrative.
Got it. I feel like that ends up. Does that end up being a high stress flashback? Flashback. It wouldn't have been high stress before, but now it's been so long. I don't know. Experienced Blades GMs, what is your perspective on this?
I don't think there's a difference between how long things are, right? The point of the heist genre is that we find out things just like the moment we need to know them. If I cased the joint like 2 weeks ago, that doesn't make it more stressful for me to have cased the joints 2 weeks. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good to me then. Yeah, then I'll say that would have been a really daring thing to get Alejandro to do, so I still think it's too stress, but I think you can do it.
Then I'm back at my original stress level, but I have Alejandro.
All right, cool.
Yay.
So yeah, all of you are safe. You still don't know what the mysterious blue laser was, but there was a fleet of electric vehicles is crossing over the marshland, and they are getting close fast.
I think Fashe is like looking around, and like there's Rudy, and he rolls his eyes, and there's Violine, and he also rolls his eyes, and he just says, "We need to get out of here." And I think there's like a vehicle there, and he can talk to vehicles like they're people. Well, not you can interact with agents of darkness as if they were regular people. And I'm wondering if I can get us a vehicle to run away.
Yeah, there's only one at the base of this tower that is currently unoccupied, and it is the vehicle of a certain someone that Violine was just talking to. But you can totally jack that car.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about a tragic person with a lung condition, so I'm trying to get into the car and I'm trying to hijack it. I would argue for express because I'm trying to talk it into doing a thing.
I think in this case, it makes sense. Yeah, I'll give it to you. I'll give you controlled standard. Because I think that I think Rosina is there on the ground with one arm over her attendant's shoulder. And when you get down to the car, she says, the password is Pi. Good luck, Fashe.
He looks at her. Does he recognize her?
Yep. This is Rosina Emanuel, one of the people that you probably knew the best when you were within Blight custody.
Okay, this is controlled standard. Do I have help?
Yep, yeah. I'll give you a plus one die for it, too.
Oh, okay. I was just, asking Dash or anyone else.
Oh, sorry, right. I mean, you're being helped by Rosina, so it makes sense.
Okay.
In that case, I don't need to. Bam.
That is a six, at least.
Hell yes. Cool. So everyone gets loaded into this vehicle. Yeah. Fashe, you're in the driver's seat. You are a teenager with a car. Oh my goodness. We're having this moment.
You are the most dangerous thing in the entire world at this moment.
Yes.
Yep. Question. Does Fashe know how to drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
I probably have driven in these kinds of vehicles before.
Cool.
Fashe's instinct would be to just leave Amadaz there, but I'm not sure what Legbo.
Yeah, Amadaz is trying to argue with you and like protest, but it, like whatever modulates his voice is like distorted, and so it's like varying in pitch and going all robot-y, very Discord style.
How impressive is his struggling right now? Is it just like weakly, like trying to push me away, or is it like he's trying to rip the tentacles off and escape?
I think it's fairly impressive. As soon as you let him down on the ground, he draws his rapier, and he's still like on his butt, but he's holding this thing up, and you know he could still do significant damage to you if he really wanted to. But he does not look like he's in good shape.
Screw this. We're leaving. Yeah. Everyone is in the car, correct?
Yes, please.
All right. Tentacles drop them into their seats, buckle their seat belts. I hear the engine rev.
Yeah. He
picks up that stupid rapier and I want it so bad. You know what? No. Octator has been such a pain this whole time. He's going to help us now. This is going to be my last transcendent action, and it's going to get us out of here for Fashe's driving. Several tentacles are going to like reach around to grab him, and I'm going to throw him at the base of the building, and I'm going to drop the building behind us. And we're going to ride out from the shockwave while it blocks all the other pursuing vehicles. I can't do that, can I?
Yeah, I think a feat of superhuman strength was much less than what you were describing. And so it feels wrong to let you just summarily destroy an entire building.
Yeah. Also, there's a
but
person
I'm throwing
there
Octator Amadaz at it.
Yeah, also, it would be nice if you didn't kill Rosina.
But she's in, I thought she was in the car as well.
The car is at the base of the tower.
Yeah.
The car is at the base of the tower that will fall. And also, I was assuming that Rosina is not going with us, or is she going with us?
Is not going with you.
Okay, yeah.
Fine, I won't lay waste to this terrifying place. It spared my wrath this time.
I would guess that you can steal his sword. It will be even better.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to use a transcendent action to take his rocket sword, I will let you have it.
I mean, there's a decent chance if I, like, break his legs, then people will stop to help him instead of chasing us, right?
Man,
I am vicious. I'm a vicious creature.
You are a vicious creature, but
I don't know if Legba is. No, I'll take the best of both options. So yeah, as I like go to grapple him again, yeah, like one tentacle grabs the sword out of his hands, the others just like wrap around his arms and legs, and I just throw him in this big arc in the air over towards his forces as a distraction while we drive away.
What
should I be rolling here, I wonder?
Well, you're making your theatrical escape. I don't know. Tell me what you think this is.
I would think flow. At least Fashe is probably doing flow, like moving through a thing, right?
Yeah, I think flow makes sense. I think just the act of wrenching the sword out of his hands is maybe the most important part of this, and I think that is a defy. So,
oh yeah,
that's then. Yeah. I think we'll stick with defy. What is my positioning in effect in this juncture?
Your position is risky because this is wasting precious time and the people are almost here. The overwhelming resistance, which will completely wreck you, is like less than 50 meters away.
All right. What's the effect if I manage to lob their leader right back at them?
So, is the intent of this action to acquire the sword? Or is the intent of this action to reduce the overwhelming reinforcements clock to keep them further at bay?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm rolling to stop them from overwhelming us while we escape.
Okay.
That's the intent. Getting the sword would be nice, but it's not my focus.
All right. I will give you standard effect to accomplish that then.
Well, I could always push it over into a desperate great effect if I wanted.
But also
desperate, yeah. You know what? I'm good with standard. Let's make our roll. I'm pushing myself, so I'll take a bonus dice. Anything else happening at all? For the record, I have nothing in Defy.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I would totally help you.
This is us working together. It's you driving and me lobbing. So maybe this is my setup action for you. How about we establish it as that? So I'll make this dice roll, and that'll give you a bonus dice to when you make the escape roll.
Okay. Right. It's probably bonus effect. You can't get dice from it.
Isn't the point of setup that you get +1 dice for follow-up actions? No.
For follow-up actions, you get either increased positioning or improved effect.
What's the point of me having an ability that picks one? Oh, well. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, geez. So this is a setup action, right?
I have no idea anymore. I throw him. Whatever it accomplishes, or it fails to accomplish at this point. But I throw this pain in my neck and chest, and I just pick him up with several large tentacles and just throw him as far as I can towards his allies.
Yeah, and so I think what happens is you do throw him at his allies, and I think you like go to the ground, you pull the sword out of his hands, you're holding his rocket rapier, you grab him by the front of his chassis, and you go to throw him at the people, and they're right there. Just a bunch of robots, and then also people are piling out of various cars, and you are surrounded. I will say that, Fashe, you had a chance to get away while all of this struggling was happening, but Legba is currently in the midst of a pretty bad situation. I will say that there's an opportunity here where Fashe, you can just be gone if you're willing to have left Legba behind.
Go on, do it. Do it.
This is interesting. I'm not sure that he even knows. For him, Legba comes and goes, however, right? That's that's what Legba does. Legba can just disappear. So I think he does it. He just sees that Legba is enjoying some punching of robots, and he's like, I have two humans here, and arguably none of them have a brain. I definitely need to be out, and he's out.
Yeah, and so Legba, you realize, you're turning around, you're ready to throw Amadaz, and then you realize that you are entirely surrounded and your friends are gone.
Can I still throw Amadaz into the face of the nearest robot, though? That's sure. What matters above all else. Okay.
Yeah, you throw him into the nearest robot. He falls to the ground, kind of like rests himself up, and you can hear through like the robot sound, like the distorted sound, him laughing. These forces are quickly closing in on you.
What is the consequence of this failed defy roll?
Yeah, so I think like what happens when you de-transcend is you end up disappearing and reappearing at your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you are going to reappear somewhere far away.
Yep.
But I think because you're surrounded, the result here is going to be harm.
Yeah. Before I manage to wisp away, they're going to get some hits on me.
Exactly. They're going to see you start to like fizzle and disappear, and someone's going to panic and start shooting at you, and then all of a sudden, lots of shooting.
Good thing I didn't push it into a desperate roll.
Yeah, right? So I'm going to give you, let's see, this is risky, probably like the level 2 harm pierced.
All right. I'm going to burn my special armor to turn that into level 1 harm, and then I'm going to resist it.
All right.
Oof, I'll take 4 stress, which puts me 1 short of eclipse.
Yay. Oh, geez, so close. All right. So what is you resisting this barrage of gunfire with the last of your transcendent might?
Yeah. What is it they use? Like, they use like lightning guns, don't they?
Probably. Yeah. I like that idea.
So yeah, it's like the tentacles are all writhing up, trying to swat these guys away, and they're just getting evaporated in this horrible crackling electric light. And then as eventually it's just like the little central figure of me with the mask holding the rapier. And yeah, for a moment, I like turn towards Octator and give a little flourishing bow with the sword and then stab it into the ground. Ah, eventually we will get our dinner, Ark, will we not? And then I'm gone.
I love it.
Legba is just cool under any sort of pressure.
Yep. Just incredibly awesome.
Then he like reappears all the way over, like hovering over Lovely. And we just see he's in tatters. Just all of the shadows just have holes ripped through them. He looks like the most ratty piece of clothing ever, just hanging in the air above her. And then it cuts over to Fashe.
I love it. Oh, wait. Do you settle like a black sheet over Lovely's body? Like when you de-transcend? Is that the overall effect here?
Definitely.
I like this. Cool.
Also, that closes out my progress clock, so I'm no longer stabbed either.
Oh, awesome.
Which saves me from wasting all of those social links I was using to not have decreased effects.
So we cut back to Fashe. You're racing across this like catwalk pathway in this vehicle. There's like the deafening electric whine as it moves. And you hear the crackle of gunfire somewhere distant, but it's quickly drowned out by the rain. You are flying. You are flying back in the direction of home. Violine and Rudy are in the back. I think Rudy is panicking, and Violine, you are probably calming him down.
Yeah, she's like giving him a hug, patting him on the back, like, shh, shh, Rudy, it'll be okay. Just...
Yeah, and Alejandro is helping you and has just like put a paw on him to make sure he's okay. And Fashe, you are flying across all the boardwalks here, and then you see a bicycle tip to one side, and you see Lovely standing on the side of the road.
I think for a moment it looks like Fashe is going to just speed past her, and like he does a little bit, and then it's like the screeching of tires against wood, and it's like, what? What the? What are you doing here? Get in.
I came with Rudy. Oh, okay.
Stop talking. Get in. Yeah, and then he like starts the car again, and is just as he is driving, he is just grumbling about, oh my fucking god, all of these fucking kids just trying to be the most annoying fucking idiots ever. Who even let you have pants? You should be at home. You don't go into the swamplands.
I, for one, love Fashe's inarticulate swearing and angriness.
Yeah, Rudy's just like, oh, I'm sorry. I made Lovely come with me. I thought I might need backup. I didn't know what
backup
I was doing.
Backup of what? Backup to fall asleep somewhere in a ditch and have everyone forget her?
I'm sorry. Yeah, what is Lovely's reaction to being called out?
I think Fashe figured out that he said like something that he shouldn't have said, so now he's just very silently driving.
Fashe's the kind of like angry teenager who smokes cigarettes but won't let the kids bum them off him because he knows it would actually be bad for them.
You are committed to a very private form of self-destruction. Yeah, and so you're sitting there in the car and you're kind of sheepish for a second and you start thinking, like, God, this is awkward. And then some music starts to play out of the car speakers. What is the song? bidden from your pure intention. Fashe, what is Fashe's like driving playlist? Because this car totally remembers what your driving playlist is.
Back in Black?
All right. Cool.
I am the tiger. I don't know.
It's definitely one of those like punchy, like something close to like rock or metal right now.
He has Dean Winchester's driving playlist.
I don't know who Dean Winchester is, but cool.
Yeah, it's an idiot with a car.
And so you get away.
I am so happy.
Yeah. You did it. You rescued Violine and Rudy and met up with an old friend. A bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I want to call out Rudy for abandoning me.
Yeah, Rudy. Rudy's just like, I'm so sorry.
You left me in a ditch. In an actual ditch.
My sister.
She practically kind of raised me. I didn't even fall into the ditch. You put me in the ditch when you left me there.
I didn't want the robots to find you. I didn't know where to put you.
It was raining. There was water. The ditch flooded.
Well,
and yeah, Lovely is just playing it up as much as possible to dramatically talk about how much danger she was in.
Yeah, and he's incredibly sheepish because he does feel bad about leaving you in the fucking in a fucking ditch. But yeah, that's perfect.
In an actual ditch.
I'm so sorry. She's my sister. Violina, at what point do you interfere to stop this tormenting of Rudy, or do you just let Lovely get away with this?
Actually, for once, I think she lets Lovely get away with this because that way she doesn't have to do it herself.
It becomes painfully obvious as it progresses that Lovely is just messing with him.
Yeah,
I think at the third time it goes, in an actual ditch, Rudy, Fache just snaps at them to shut their mouths. Stop whinging.
Right. Sorry.
Well, at least we all got out safe. I mean, that's good. That's a good thing. We did something good.
Yeah.
Also, hey, I missed you guys. It's been a while. Do you want to see a play when we get home? Me and Alejandro, we thought of a great story.
Yeah, Alejandro perks up and starts shaking their head back and forth.
I want to get home and never see any of you for a week at least.
We'll make it 3 days. I think that's a good one. Uh-huh. I'll bring some food. I'll make it myself. I think I'm a pretty bad cook. I haven't cooked in a while.
I think it's during this ride that at some point Fache says, anyway, Racina, how did she get here?
I don't know.
How did she get there?
I don't know. She just came into my cell. Like, she was kind of hurt. She had like an oxygen mask and she tried to pry the bars open, but it didn't work and she fell to the ground and I helped her and gave her some more oxygen. And that's all I know.
She just came here.
Yeah, she just came into my cell out of nowhere and she said she would help me.
He shakes his head and there's an expression of annoyed pondering on his face.
But you know Rosina? Like, how do you know her?
You do remember that I used to work for them, right? Or is there some time after which your memory is erased?
Oh, but I don't know everyone like you know.
Do you know other couriers that also deliver packages?
Yeah, no couple.
We used to work together. For the same thing, she still works for it.
But she said she worked for them, like the robot people?
Yes.
But why would she help me then? Like, she's secretly a spy for them or something?
I think that comment sends Fache into a reminisce. And I think it's like 2 years ago. And you and Rosina are in this kind of like industrial looking space. What was the moment when you decided that you were going to leave? Like, tell me about that moment.
I think the idea was that Fache fucked up something and his implants were like taken out and he basically got discarded by the darkness. As opposed to officially recruited.
I like it.
The point of Fache's character is they're the Lancer, right? That's effectively their character archetype.
The Lancer?
The narrative trope. They're the villainous character. They're kind of the anti-hero who flips from being the bad guy over to being on the good guy's team. But there's still always that kind of dark side. So there's at some point we had to convince them, or something that happened where they found their own sense of ethics had changed, even if their methods and personality hadn't.
Yeah, so maybe this is you in recovery after having all of your augmentations ripped out. And I think like they gave you enough that you time to like heal before they were just like, I mean, you can stay part of ARC, but we don't have a purpose for you anymore. Like, we don't need you to serve your old function, right? And so maybe it's you and Rosina both in the hospital, and you're talking to her, and you're talking about how what you're going to do next. How does that sound for a scene?
Yeah, let's.
Cool. So Rosina is sitting on her bed, has like a little one of those full coverage like plastic masks over her mouth, and has like the oxygen coming in, and sitting on the side of her bed, doing some kinds of like physical exercises and that kind of stuff. What are you saying?
Yeah, I think Fesha is just like sitting there and looking at his arms that like he has bandages and all sorts of medical stuff wrapped around his arms and basically everything. And he says, it's not like it matters anymore. It's not like I can do anything.
I know how you feel. Being limited. Remembering when you could do a lot more. You get used to it.
That isn't encouraging.
Oh, well, that's the truth. What are you going to do now?
Leave.
You can see her face fall. Leave.
What, I'm going to stay here and watch them pity the little pet human, give me exciting new tasks like clean that little part of the floor or polish this robot, but I'm not.
I guess you aren't really cut out for that kind of stuff, huh? I can see she wants to ask you something, but sort of pauses and just says, do you have people, you know, back in Renity?
And then he remembers for a moment, probably Morgan, Leora. They probably met on different sides of the barricades. And then he smiles and says, well, I know the Loa.
Groveling at their feet doesn't sound like your style either, but I'm sure you'll find a way. I wonder if Morgan's okay. It's been such a long time.
You know them?
Yeah. Yeah. Before all this. And she gestures to herself.
Do you want me to find this Morgan?
Yeah. They're a good person. They'll forgive you. Tell them I'm okay. Tell them I'm looking out for Simone. I think they'll be happy to hear that. And you know, Rosina and Simone are a couple. And Simone also defected with Rosina way back when.
Fashe looks at Rosina and, you aren't okay.
Well, don't let them worry about me, okay?
I'm sure they won't be. It's Renity. If you're not in the city, you're not really people.
I guess. I think they can be more forgiving than you think they are. I'm sorry I can't go with you.
First, I need to actually walk there. He kind of chuckled.
Yeah. Well, that's what the physical therapy's for, right? I could show you a couple stretches.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. And I feel like this is the end of the scene, be going on for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so you've been having your little reminisce in the car. And yeah, the chatter of conversation has drifted onto another subject.
Thank you for listening to Good Enough Games. If you liked us, tell your friends about us or post about us on social media. Our GM is Nell Wilson. Our producer is Marina Conrad. Our music is by Ketza. Our game system is Girl by Moonlight by Andrew Gillis, powered by Forged in the Dark by John Harper. We will be back in a week with more Magical Girls. In the meantime, find us on Twitter at GoodEnoughRPG, all one word, or email us at goodenoughrpg@gmail.com. And, of course, be kind to yourself.
I'll sacrifice a small baby. I'll do it.
Oh my goodness, don't sacrifice a small baby. I think it just wants
I'll sacrifice a large baby.